Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father in heaven, you have promised us that when your word goes forth, it will not return to you void without accomplishing that for which you sent it. And so we pray that you would keep that promise in each one of our lives this morning. Make it so, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. There are places in the Bible that have such a depth to them that even if we were to spend hours, maybe even days studying them, we could not plumb the depths of some of those passages. Now, I'll give you a couple examples. In Genesis 3, verse 6, we read these words, "And she," that is Eve, "also gave to her husband, and he ate." And it takes over 1,000 pages of biblical text that follow after that to fully explain the depths of what that means when he ate. Or when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Man, that's hard to fathom the depths of that. Or, "I am the light of the world." It's impossible, I think, to learn in this life all that that sentence conveys. He's the light of the world because we see dimly, the Bible says. Our lesson for this morning is another one of those passages that has great depth to it. It is found in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And before we read it, I'd like for us just for a few minutes, or maybe just a minute or two, to put ourselves in the place of the disciples who are listening to this when Jesus says it. This event takes place on Thursday. It's actually the Thursday that Jesus will be betrayed by Judas and taken for his trial. Sham trial, really, but his trial. Now, think about this for a minute, because just 5 days before, Jesus is riding a donkey into Jerusalem. People are waving, and they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," and they're waving palm branches. And now think about these disciples. If you were one of those guys, what would you be thinking on that day? Or what would you be? What, you'd be puffed up with pride that day. Man, I'm with him, right? That's what you'd be saying. I'm one of his disciples. And so you got to sort of think about that. And also, no doubt, because they still didn't quite understand the kingdom of God, they're still thinking, well, now the crowds, finally, maybe the crowds in Jerusalem have come around, and now they're supporting Jesus, and it won't be long now that he's able to take his kingdom and run the Romans out, and then we'll be ruling right along with him, right? And it's exciting. It's just got to be exciting this week ever since that Palm Sunday. And so now, now then, on that Thursday night, Jesus is explaining to them that to be a leader in his kingdom means you got to wash the feet of your fellow disciples. And besides that, Jesus says he's going to a place where they can't come. Wow, that's got to be different in their mind, don't you think? And then finally, Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to betray me 3 times tonight." And then that's when Jesus says these words of our lesson. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know." And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Now, I'm going to stop for just a second, because don't you like the honesty of Thomas right there? It's like he's saying, Lord, we thought we knew, and now you're telling us this. I don't know, Lord. And he's speaking for all of them. And it makes that clear in the verses following this. And so finally, Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, you're going to the Father. Oh, okay. Well, now they sort of know that, right? But this is just such a trying time that they are entering upon this night. And it actually has begun with Jesus telling them all this. And so I would like to call your attention to two important sentences in this passage. And there's no way to plumb the depths of this passage, especially in 8 or 9 minutes. But we're gonna work on a couple of sentences here. And the first one is that first sentence. Just listen to the compassion of Jesus in these words. Now, he's just told Peter, you're going to deny me. And I don't even think Peter knew why or what was going to happen, right? Jesus had told them he's going to be betrayed, and they didn't understand it. And so Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, right? What compassion there, huh? You believe in God, believe also in me. And when he says believe there, it has the connotation of trust. Trust me. Just trust me. Now, why does Jesus say this right after he tells Peter he's going to deny him? Well, because he knows what's going to happen the next 3 days and what these disciples are going to be thinking in their mind. Because do you think when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they were busy thinking, this is the light of the world? I don't think so. I don't think that entered their mind when they saw him upon the cross. Or do you think they could imagine he was the King of Kings when he's wearing the crown of thorns? I don't think that entered their mind, right? Or when they laid him in the tomb, you think they're thinking, this is the author of life? Probably not. So Jesus knew what they were going to be going through. And so he says, let not your hearts be troubled. I know you don't see it now. You just trust me and keep trusting me. And things are going to work out and you'll see it. Now, I would guess there's not a single person in here who has not had a troubled heart at some time in your life. And if you haven't yet, well, just wait. Because tragedy and pain has a way of encroaching on our lives. And it seems like it encroaches sometimes at just the worst possible time. But Jesus would say to you the same thing he said to these disciples. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just trust me. I know what's going on. I will see you through it. And you can have peace in that situation, right? We call it the peace that passes all understanding, don't we? And when other people in this world do not have peace when they're undergoing trials, you can have peace when you're undergoing trials. Now, why? Well, the Bible says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so there's a key there that when we set our hearts upon Jesus, to that extent, we will experience that peace that passes all understanding. Set your heart upon your Savior when troubles come. And remember that passage, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, secondly, when trials do come, remember this also. They're not going to last forever. It's easy to think they will. It's easy to see no light at the end of the tunnel when those trials come. But what did Jesus say to these disciples? Well, if nothing else, they will come to an end when this life ends for you. And he said, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. There's one for you. That's what that means. There's room enough for you. There's room for everyone in my Father's house, and I have a mansion there for you. And there will be no heartache, no pain. And the Bible even says God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And so Jesus would say the same thing to you and me, right? Now, how do you know you can trust him? Because in the moment of despair, that's when it gets hard, isn't it? Well, first off, you have to look at the fact that Jesus kept his promises. He kept them to these disciples, for example. Did he let them down? Nope. And look what all happened. He wore that crown of thorns. He took the nails in his hands. He took the beating and the whipping. And finally, he experienced hell itself as his Father forsook him on the cross. And yet, to keep his promise to those disciples, he rose again. And there's nothing in heaven and nothing on earth that can keep him from keeping his promises. And so he rose from the dead, and he kept his promise to those disciples, and he's never broken one yet. He's not going to start with you. Not only did he endure all of that pain, but he did it for them, and he did it for you, so that the sins on your record, the sins that blocked your path to the Father, he removed them out of the way. And you know what? He didn't just leave them sitting by the path so he could point to them again someday when you stand before him on Judgment Day. No, the Bible says he took those sins away from you as far as the east is from the west. And that means they do not exist anymore, those sins that sometimes trouble your conscience. They've all been taken away. Now, think about this. If he would do that for you just because he wants you, just because he loves you and he wants you to live with him forever, don't you think you can trust a Savior like that? Of course. So let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. You believe in God, trust me. Amen. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.